prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can't prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
Truth will set you free. Truth Revolution. I'm Dave. With me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
Good morning. Thanks for listening to the Truth Revolution Show. We're talking about the Bible today. Manuscript evidence.
Wow.
If the Bible's not true, then we should not believe in the Christian God.
Right.
Or the Jewish God. We should just go home and either find a different God or stop altogether.
Right.
Okay? The deal is this. A lot of people say that the Bible is like the game of telephone. You played the game of telephone when you were a kid?
Yes, yes.
One person says...
Yeah, one person says one thing, and the next person says...
I want to eat spaghetti. Mm-hmm. By the time they pass it around through 12 six-year-olds, it becomes, I like your Aunt Betty, you know?
Right.
So, or something even weirder. And they're saying what happened with the Bible was it got written 2,000 years ago.
Right.
It was written 2,000 years ago. And then it got passed down to the people 1,990 years ago. And then it's gone through thousands of iterations.
Right. It's like the Xerox deal. You know, you make a copy of a copy of a copy, and eventually, I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but if you make a copy of a copy on a Xerox machine, it's not quite as pristine as the
original. And so what people say is, well, since we only have things that are like 2,000 years old, the Bible we have today probably isn't anything like the Bible that we had 2,000 years ago. Even if the Bible was true, we just don't even know what it was 2,000 years ago. So they say it's ridiculous to believe in the Bible in that sense.
Right.
So that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're going to get there in just a second. First, I'd like everyone to stop what you're doing right now. And just pause for a second. Listen to this very important announcement.
All right.
Go to truthrevolution.tv. That's our website. I think you should go there. We got past shows. We have a place for you to donate there. Lots of good information on truthrevolution.tv. Our hits have been going up on there. People have been going there more and more, listening to more shows. We've had people donating to the show. Thank you very much for that, by the way.
Thank you.
Because that people who are donating are the people who believe in what we're talking about here. Or even if they don't believe in what we're talking about, they like it enough that it wants to keep talking about it, so maybe they can keep sending us criticism. I don't know. But whatever.
I like arguing with those guys.
Whatever it is, we appreciate all of you who've been donating to this. And if you'd like to do that, you can go to truthrevolution.tv and send in anywhere from 99 cents to $99 million.
There you go.
If you're Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg, or maybe not anymore, I don't know. But so anyway, let's get back to the topic at hand. Manuscript evidence, because there's a guy named Donald Morgan, and he says this. No original manuscripts exist. There is probably not one book which survives in anything like its original form. There are hundreds of differences between the oldest manuscripts of any one book. These differences indicate that numerous additions and alterations, some accidental and some purposeful, were made to the originals by various authors, editors, and copyists. Now he's talking about the Bible.
That's stressing me out.
It is.
It is.
You're
it's
actually turning gray as I watch. Now, okay, so you understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
This very first one, no original manuscripts exist, and I gotta be honest with you.
He's right.
He's right about that. Mm-hmm. We don't have an original manuscript of the Bible. We don't have exactly what Paul penned. We don't have exactly what Moses wrote. For the Christian, most of our beliefs about God and even the historical Jesus come from the Bible, specifically the New Testament. Therefore, we must be absolutely clear on what the Bible is. And our claim is this. The Bible is the Word of God.
Yes.
The truth of the Bible is vitally important for the Christian. One scholar wrote that all the words in Scripture are God's words in such a way that to disbelieve or disobey any word in Scripture is to disbelieve or disobey God. That was Wayne Grudem. Now, if we're saying if you disobey Scripture, you're disobeying God, we better make darn sure that Scripture is accurate.
Right.
Because if you are basing your whole life on this book, you better be sure that it's not a copy of a copy that's got error upon error upon error upon error. Otherwise, you're living error upon error.
Right.
You have to make sure that these manuscripts are accurate.
And it's kind of scary when you start thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, look, we can build a case for the Bible with fulfilled prophecies. We can do it with historical and archaeological evidence and numerous other ways to verify the Bible as God's word. But it's often pointed out that this is 2,000 years old.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, the writings have been translated hundreds of times by hundreds of different people over thousands of years. Therefore, what we read today is probably completely different from what the disciples of Jesus wrote. Any supposed fulfilled prophecies are simply written or rewritten after the fact, they say. Miracles are just stories that were invented. Even the deity of Jesus Christ was later added to the Bible. We simply can't trust the New Testament. Too unreliable, Dave.
What are we doing?
So, look, so before we examine anything else, like before we continue to claim that God exists and that Jesus rose from the dead, we have to ask, is our current Bible reliable? No.
I bet we're going to find out.
We are going to find out. And I think it's good. Yeah. All right, here's the deal. A manuscript is a copy of an original document, okay? For instance, when the men who first signed the Declaration of Independence put their autographs on the paper, they were signing the original document.
Mm-hmm.
If copies were made to send to the various states or even to the King of England, those copies were known as manuscripts. Okay, they are copies of the original. Now, it's pointed out that the Bible can be much different from what was originally written because there's about 2,000 years of copying. So certainly there must be some copying errors. Most evangelical Christians believe the Holy Spirit inspired the writers so that on the paper were the very words of God. Now, here's what happens. A lot of Christians say, well, wouldn't the Holy Spirit have kept the Bible perfect through all these years? Well, number one, that's not a very compelling argument for people who don't believe.
Right.
Oh, I don't believe in God anyway. Now you're just telling me to believe that some magical spirit kept these papers accurate.
Right.
Number two, the Bible doesn't even promise that the copies or the manuscripts will be perfect or even reliable after years. It says that what they wrote was perfect, but it doesn't even say that the copies will be perfect. The Bible doesn't even say that itself. So the question remains, is the Bible even close to what was written 2,000 years ago? Short answer, Dave? You want the short answer? Is it accurate? Short answer is?
Was that going to be a short show?
You mean like you want to end if I answer this quickly? The short answer is yes.
Yes,
the Bible is accurate. Okay?
I knew it.
Now, amazingly accurate. A bullseye, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to look at the numbers to see whether that's the case, all right? Typically, if an ancient document had 80 or 90 manuscripts, it'd be considered very good, right? That doesn't mean if there's less that it's just thrown out.
Right.
All right, for instance, we only have 9 or 10 copies of Julius Caesar's Gallic Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Ever read Gallic Wars?
No, I haven't, but I've read stuff that talked about the book.
Well, I've read stuff that talk about the book, too. For instance, my notes here today.
Mm-hmm.
Julius Caesar's Gallic Wars. You know, we only have 9 or 10 copies of that book. 9 or 10 manuscripts. But no one really contests how accurate those writings are, even though we only have 10 copies.
Right. Yeah, everybody says they're accurate.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be still publishing it.
That's right. Tacitus, an ancient historian, he wrote a document called Annals. We only have 2 manuscript copies of Tacitus'
wow.
stuff. Yet we trust him for the most part. No one's going around going, hey, archaeologists, don't listen to Tacitus. You only have 2 manuscript documents. No, they're all saying, well, look, Tacitus is probably accurate. As far as ancient secular documents go, let me tell you about one that is like on top.
Okay.
Homer's Iliad. You ever heard of Homer's mm-hmm. Iliad? I like Homer's Iliad. It's in a different category. It has 643 manuscript copies, which
right
is
on.
Amazing. I mean, we're talking like top of the line. This document has more manuscript evidence than any other ancient document.
So compared to Tacitus and the Caesar's book,
yeah.
The Gallic Wars, this thing is out of the park.
This one blows them mm-hmm. out of the water. I mean, 643 copies. So that's amazing. Now, the reliability of ancient documents must be compared to their manuscript evidence. Now, so many of them have, you know, a dozen or less copies. Homer's Iliad comes out on top of 643. So because he has 643 manuscript copies, means, you know, that many copies were made, you can compare them to each other and you can come up and say, oh, look, well, we pretty much know exactly what Homer's Iliad was mm-hmm. originally because we have 643 yeah, three things to compare to each other.
Compare them all together, right.
Right. So we have really good confidence that what we read is the same as what Homer wrote. Now, we know this because you can compare these copies to each other. Take the sentence, I put the blank on my foot. All right?
Okay.
If 600 copies say
tenactin.
Shoe... What?
Tenactin? I put the tenactin on my
Bam!
Foot.
Bam! Tenactin, tenactin! Hey, we should do like commercial spots in the middle of our show like that.
Great.
Anyway, so if 600 copies say the word shoe, but 43 say the word boot,
mm-hmm.
the translators could be pretty sure that the original word in Homer's Iliad was shoe. Not boot. It was most likely an error made by some of the copyists. But where does the Bible fall on the scale of manuscript evidence? Does it have 643 copies,
oh,
like Homer's Iliad?
It doesn't have that many.
Or
right?
is it more like the Gallic Wars, like 2 copies? Well, if you place,
I'll say 5.
You'll say 5. Why would you? This is going to be good evidence. Well, if you were actually to place the Bible on a scale with other ancient documents, and the scale weighed the amount of manuscript evidence,
10.
Stop it. And you put the Bible manuscript evidence on one, and you put, you know, Homer's Iliad on the other.
Uh-huh.
If you sat down the Bible evidence, it would literally launch Homer's Iliad into the air.
Right, and that's 600 volumes.
Let me tell you the number of manuscripts we have. This is just the Greek manuscripts, okay, which is the language most of the New Testament was written in.
Mm-hmm.
We have more than 5,600 copies.
Wow.
So Homer's Iliad is number one, more than any other secular document. It's got 643. The New Testament in just the Greek manuscripts has 5,600.
Wow.
If we just count different translations, there's about 9,000 pieces of evidence. Dave, together, that is more than 14,600 manuscripts that of the New Testament. And that's not even counting the over 30,000 ancient quotations we have.
Right. So basically what you're saying is that when people want to argue about that well, there all these copies have been copied down from centuries. Now, we go back, and we don't make copies of copies, right? We make copies of the manuscripts, correct?
Oh, we're going to talk about the age after the break, okay?
Right.
But I just want to talk about the number of manuscripts right now, because we're getting to the age here just a little bit. But
you got me excited.
To get an idea of the magnitude of these numbers, I want you to imagine each manuscript is 1 foot tall.
Okay.
Okay. Gallic Wars, 2 feet tall. I mean, it's basically up to your shins.
Right.
But no one disputes that. Homer's Iliad, 643 feet tall. That is really tall. That's about halfway up the Sears Tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the New Testament manuscripts would be as tall as 10 Sears Towers. I mean, we're talking like space here, okay?
Right.
I mean, this is the amount of manuscript evidence that the New Testament has. I cannot overstate how big of a deal this is. I mean, it is not one of these things where it's like, yeah, you know, we're looking at manuscript evidence and we want to know if the Bible's reliable. And, you know, it's in like the top half of reliable documents.
Right. It is.
I mean, it's its own category. It is not able to be compared to any other ancient document because there are so many manuscripts. And the more manuscripts that you get, the more you can compare them to each other to understand what the real saying was. You can look and say, okay, we have 5,600 copies here. You know, maybe 100 of them say, the word Lord instead of God.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 200 say Yahweh instead of God. And so you got 200 that say Yahweh, you got 100 that say Lord, but you have got 5,300 that say God. Like, you're pretty sure the word was actually God.
Right. And that puts us well on the way to actually proving why we have so much confidence in the Bible, the way it's written.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
We have more manuscript evidence than pretty much any other book. Now, Norman Geisler and Abdul Salib says this: some have estimated there are about 200,000 errors in biblical manuscripts.
200,000.
These are not really errors, but only variant readings, the vast majority of which are strictly grammatical. These readings are spread throughout more than 5,300 manuscripts, so that a variant spelling of one word in one verse in 3,000 manuscripts is counted as 3,000 errors. So, if you hear people talking about,
scared me there for a second.
Yeah, if you hear people talking about, you know, the Bible has 200,000 errors, just roll your eyes a little bit. Just enough to show them that you know better. No, don't really, guys. But, I mean, it's not real. When they say there's 200,000 errors, there's not even close to 2,000 errors.
Right.
That'd be like, you know, if you typed up your resume and you accidentally spelled the word happiness wrong, you used one P instead of two, and then you Xeroxed that, you made 100 copies, then I went, you made 100 errors!
Right.
Well, no, there was like one misspelling, and the copier was so perfect it copied all the errors.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's what it's like. Now, we're going to answer this a little bit more. We're going to talk about the age of the manuscripts, which is even better evidence on the other side of this break.
Right.
And we're going to basically put the burden of proof on the people who reject the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So check out truthrevolution.tv. Hey, come on over to Revolution Church. We're logical there. We believe you can have faith and reason, brains, and God at the same time.
That's kicking off in half an hour.
Yeah.
You definitely want to get there.
10:15 is when we start. We'll check you on the other side of the show, truthrevolution.tv.
Truth Revolution.
And we're back.
Welcome. Welcome.
Welcome. Truth Revolution.
Again. Dot TV.
TruthRevolution.tv. You got to check it out. We got all of our shows on there, or at least getting all of our shows on there.
Yeah, all the recent ones we try to put up there. And we're getting the older ones put on, too.
Yep.
Hey, we're talking about the Bible, manuscript evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Bible accurate? Is it reliable?
Yep, we've already said. I mean, compared to some of the older manuscripts of other books that are considered ultra-reliable.
Like Homer's Iliad, 643 copies.
That pales in comparison to the manuscript evidence we have for the Bible.
Which is $5,600. Dave, would you rather have $643 or $5,600?
Is that a trick question?
$5,600 is way more than $643.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we have 9,000 other translations, so that's like $14,600.
Right.
And we have 30,000 ancient quotations as well. So we're talking like 44,600 pieces of manuscript evidence here.
And now we're getting ready to talk about the age of those.
Oh, man.
But first,
Bible contradiction.
Jeez.
All right. Bible contradiction today, basically.
You're addicted to Bible contradictions.
I like Bible contradictions because it not only does it prove the contradiction wrong, but it proves that my faith is placed in the right place.
And that we're logical.
Yes. All right. John 9:31 says...
This is in the Bible.
Yes. We know that God does not listen to sinners.
Okay.
Okay. John 9:31. Luke 18:13 says, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner.
Okay, so does God listen to sinners or not? That's the question.
According to Luke 18, he does. According to John 9, he doesn't.
Right.
Help me out of this contradiction. I feel like I painted myself in a corner.
Okay, well, our Bible rules, our most common rule that I'd say like almost every week to everybody who ever asks a Bible contradiction is please, please read the Bible.
Okay.
And you read it in context.
Context is actually pretty important, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, the tax collector, the sinner, said, have mercy on me, and God answered that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
But John 9:31 says, we know God does not listen to sinners. Well, my friends, if you read that quote in John 9, that was not Jesus talking.
Oh, no, do tell.
The Bible was telling a story about a guy who Jesus healed, and this guy was called in by the Pharisees, some bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
He was called in to talk to these religious people, and they're saying, we don't believe in Jesus. You know, blah, 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 blah. And they're telling this guy, who healed you? Where'd you get these powers? Blah, blah, blah. And the guy says, hey, we know God doesn't listen to sinners, but he listened to what Jesus did and he healed me.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't Jesus. This wasn't God. And it wasn't the Bible isn't saying that God doesn't listen to sinners.
Right.
This was the Bible just quoting a guy. It was telling the story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's giving
an account.
It's giving an account. And sometimes in accounts you record when people tell a lie. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're promoting it.
Right.
You know, like if I said, oh, yeah, so-and-so was arrested for murder the other day, and he said that he was at Kmart when it happened. Did I tell a lie? No, I'm telling you that he said something that wasn't accurate. You know, and likewise, the Bible records all sorts of things that aren't accurate, that people told lies of or where people were deceitful.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Bible saying that. This is just recording what this one guy said. It's true that God listens to sinners. Now, it's also true in the Bible that God listens more to righteous people, to the good people who love him. James 5:16, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. But what you have to note is the Bible isn't saying God does not listen to sinners.
Mm-hmm.
What the Bible says is the prayer of a righteous person is powerful.
Well,
it's effective.
Right.
It accomplishes a lot of stuff, but nowhere does it say God won't listen to a sinner. God listens to everyone who calls on him, actually. That's what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
So he definitely listens to sinners' prayers. I mean, that's the whole point of the Bible, right? That God listens to what we have to say. God wants to talk to us. God wants us to talk to him. Otherwise, we'd be in big trouble.
Definitely. Because if God doesn't listen to sinners, how would we ever be saved?
That's right. And that's the answer for a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Now, back to manuscript evidence.
What about it?
Well, we've already talked about how the Bible compares to other manuscripts.
And it kicks butt, really.
It does.
I mean,
totally.
Yeah, like 44,000 pieces of evidence compared to Homer Ziliad, 643. And Homer Ziliad is the most accurate, most number of manuscripts of any secular ancient document. Homer's Iliad. Boom. Just remember that. I want to burn that in your brain, listener. Homer's Iliad rocks. 643.
I see what you did there.
What?
You said secular. So thereby saying that it was the most of any secular document.
Yeah.
But we have another document that has more manuscripts.
And the Bible is not secular.
It is not.
It has a lot more manuscripts. 5,600 complete Greek manuscripts, 9,000 in other languages, and 30,000 ancient quotations. And now, if you're looking for evidence that the New Testament manuscripts are reliable, the age is also going to be a wonderful right. description of that fact. Because not just the number of manuscripts is important. Because, you know, if let's just say that we... And by the way, when I say manuscript, I'm not counting all the billions of Bibles that exist right now.
Right.
Okay. But let's say if you have 100 manuscripts, and they're all from the year 1000, but the book was written in the year 1000 BC.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't matter if you have 100 manuscripts. They're all still 2,000 years away from the source.
Right.
So that's a long time away. So the age counts, too. Now, we have, like, thousands upon tens of thousands of manuscript copies of the Bible, but how old are they? Well, let's take another book by Homer called The Odyssey, and it has extraordinary evidence because the earliest manuscripts are only 500 years away from when it was written, okay? This is really good for an ancient book, 500 years. But of course, relate that to the New Testament, and it just pales in comparison. People saying things like, well, the Bible's been copied for 2,000 years. What they're mm-hmm. implying is, all we have now is the Bible you can buy in the bookstore, and that, you know, Bibles from 100 years ago don't exist, or Bibles from 200 years, or 300 or 400 years.
We've already copied that one down, so just throw it away because we don't need it anymore.
Right, they think, oh, the Gutenberg Bible, like hundreds of feet, you know, 400 or 500 years ago, that's like the oldest Bible that exists, right?
Right.
No, that's not true. The New Testament, we have copies of within the first century of when it was written.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That blows away the competition. So this means that we have copies that are nearly 2,000 years old.
Right. So
I want that to sink in.
Right.
Nearly 2,000 years old. We have copies of the Bible.
Right.
That are like boom right up there, almost when they were written originally.
Now, when we actually have translations of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
the Bible that I carry around, is that a translation of these manuscripts? That means
listen. It's actually the Bible you have. If you look in your footnotes, you're going to see a bunch of things. You can see like a little letter sometimes that says you'll be reading. And I'm just going to make this one up. You'll be reading something that says, you know, and Jesus walked along the shore of the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be a little, you know, asterisk. And you look down at the asterisk and it'll say, or Sea of Reeds. That's because, like, there may be, out of the 5,000 manuscripts, there may be like 4,000 that say Red Sea. But there's 1,000 early manuscripts from like way earlier that mm-hmm. say Sea of Reeds instead.
Right.
And so they're like, hey, we want to let you know that most of them say Red Sea, but some of the early manuscripts say Sea of Reeds, and so we're just letting you know. So your Bible is it depends on which translation you have. A lot of them are based on what's called the preponderance of evidence. Okay, we take like one ancient translation that is a really good copy, that is based on really good evidences, and then we translate based on what we know to be true.
Right.
And then if there's any errors or anything that appears slightly different, that gets pointed out in the footnotes so that you actually know what the differences are.
Right, so the evidence is laid all right out there in front of you.
Right, the Bible's not hiding anything. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, we only have one manuscript and it's from 1982, we're not telling anybody. If they find out, we're screwed. That's not what it is. I mean, we have tons of manuscripts, and your Bible lays it out there right away. Like, hey, if there's a manuscript that's slightly different, your Bible gives a footnote mm-hmm. and tells you what the difference is. And I mean,
and most of those those errors are really kind of small.
They amount to nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, they're and some of them are like what we do in the Bible contradictions, where mm-hmm. like, you know, someone will say something like, you know, oh, hey, there were seven donkeys that were killed. And, you know, there's an asterisk and it says, like, actually, it was camels, you know, or whatever. Oh, yeah. You know, it, like, that doesn't really matter. Actually, most of them aren't even that significant. Like, it's a different spelling. Like, instead of spelling Jeff, J-E-F-F, they spelled it J-E-F, you know, which back then spelling wasn't even a big deal. And so they wouldn't have thought of that as an error, where now we do. No. And so we're applying modern standards to ancient documents, which really isn't even fair. But nonetheless, I mean, those things that we call errors aren't, I mean, they're really tiny. None of them have substance to them. They're just super flippant. I mean, they're almost nothing. Nothing that changes the content of what we believe. Craig Blomberg, an author, he said this: no Christian doctrine is founded solely or even primarily on textually disputed passages. What that means is, what you believe about Jesus, what I believe about God, what everyone here, what we all believe about God, none of that is based on stuff that's disputable in the Bible. All of it is based on things that are very clear, that are exactly the same from 2,000 years ago all the way until now. So,
right. So things dealing with our salvation, the really, really important stuff, is pretty much what it says.
Exactly. Unless you're basing your salvation on how you spell Mary, you know.
Oh, no.
Like, I mean, spelling, you know, doesn't matter. There's only one section of Scripture that's would even be close to being considered a big section that's weird, and that's the book of Mark. At the end of book of Mark, you get this strange story where it says, and even in your Bible, it'll say the most reliable early manuscripts or other ancient witnesses do not have Mark 16, 9 through 20. Mm-hmm. And that's probably because what happened was there was a scroll, and because they used to keep on scrolls, and this is the end of the book. The end of the scroll probably got ripped off, and someone probably replaced it. And so that's what probably happened really early on. But that's the worst thing. I mean, everything else is really, really amazing evidence. So anyway, just let me sum this up. You've got Homer's Iliad, 643 copies.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
That's a lot. You compare them to each other and know that Homer's Iliad is accurate. The Bible, tens of thousands of copies.
And you compare those together?
And you know exactly what the Bible said. Even if there were some differences, you compare them and you know exactly what's right. Hmm. Not only that, but the Bible, what you have right now, it's 2,000 years old, but we compare it to texts that are within the first century of when they're written. And it's the same thing. What we have now is the same as what was written 2,000 years ago. It's the same thing!
It's the same thing.
We know that our Bibles are accurate. What you're reading is the same as what the disciples wrote.
So much for that copy of a copy of a copy theory.
It's just not accurate because people were so painstakingly agonizing when they made copies of the Bible.
Right.
It was God's Word.
Mm-hmm.
All right, check it out. TruthRevolution.tv. Everything we've given you today is a fact. It's not to be misconstrued, misinterpreted, or used wrongly. Use your brain wisely. TruthRevolution.tv. Come on over to Revolution Church, 10:15 a.m. We'd love to have you there.
See you next week.